As you can tell, we have a very fun and dynamic episode of Time for Fellowship with Matt and Andrew for you this week. I am currently sitting at hunting camp with three other worshipful brothers, and we are just going to go ahead and get the intro going, and then I'll introduce you to all our guests.
Loosen up your ties and roll up your sleeves. It's time for Fellowship with Matt and Andrew. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Wisconsin or any other Grand Lodge or any appended body.
All right. Awesome. Well, today we have worshipful brother Jeff Teeley, who you should recognize back from episode 5. He was the first guest we ever had on the show back in the day. So welcome back, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
And just as a quick reminder, he is the current junior grand deacon, also a past master at Lake Lodge and senior warden at Lake Lodge right now. So the next up, do it again. Then I also have our resident brothers with me today because they are both actually related and both Masons and happen to be consecutive past masters of Lake Lodge. So we have Jason and Grant Walden on today's show with us as well. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having us.
Well, actually, I should say, thanks for letting us do this while we're up at hunting camp because, you know, we should just be trying to kill a bird or something, but here we are recording a podcast instead, so.
Well, we have everything we need still sitting on the table here.
We do. That's true. That is true. That is true. Just in case.
If one happens to walk up, we're prepared.
Right. So as I mentioned in the opening there, Jason and Grant are both past masters of Lake. And Jason, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your Masonic history, when you became a Mason, what keeps you around, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Thank you. I became a Mason in 2011. I guess, so the reason I did, we have in our shrine here, we have the Scottish Triple I Highlanders, which is a bagpipe and drum band. And I had a couple of friends at work that were in this band. I went to go see them. And then I asked, well, how do I join this band being a drummer? And they said, well, you have to be a Mason first. And I thought, oh, that, my grandfather was a Mason or is a Mason at that time. And I said, all right. So I ended up putting a petition in for Lake Lodge, and two of the brothers in the Highlanders that are also members of Lake Lodge signed my petition. And, well, it took me a little while to get back to Lodge. I was in the middle of doing my entered apprentice posting, and I kind of left and went to the Highlanders and played with them more until I got a letter from worshipful brother Jeff here about 5 years later saying, are you going to continue with your degrees or are we just taking you off the books? And me wanting to continue playing with the Highlanders, no, I'll continue. So I came back and I've actually put the Highlanders on hold and fell in love with Blue Lodge and ended up becoming worshipful master of 2022. And now, you know, just help out with degrees and I love it. I love this fraternity. I love Blue Lodge, man. It's such a wonderful experience. And especially when you have brothers like we have in our line. I mean, that's what brought me back. That's what really, really drew me back, were the brothers that were in the line before I was. And we've all become super close. And I love it.
Sweet. No, it's always interesting hearing everybody's story on how they got into Masonry because everyone's different, right? Like, oh, yeah. A lot of people take different paths to get to where they end up in Masonry. So yours has been a particularly interesting journey with how it started and where you ended up, you know. All right, Grant, why don't you do the same thing and give us a little bit of your Masonic history and stuff?
Sure. Well, I joined in 2017. And that was because of Jason there. Thursday nights were actually always bowling night for me. And he tried for a couple of years to get me to join, but it was bowling night. And then I hurt my elbow in 2017. And finally, I'm like, you know what? It's time. So I joined with him. And Jeff, I think you initiated me, right? That was your year.
Yep.
So he was the first one I met at Lodge was Jeff. I love it. I love this. I love hanging out with you guys afterwards, you know, when we go to Ginger's.
Good plug for Ginger's.
Yeah, nice plug. Yeah, nice plug.
I love everything about it. Being past master now, I've definitely tried to concentrate on doing more of the ritual work.
Right. You're working on your proficiencies, yep, which is pretty impressive.
I love the degrees. That's my favorite part of masonry.
Absolutely.
Sweet. All right. Well, thanks. So, obviously, this is a little bit different of an episode, and we didn't really script anything because we're up at hunting camp. So, why would we script anything? We just wanted to throw some mics in our faces and chat about kind of whatever came up. And I think, Jason, you touched on something especially interesting when you brought up, like, how close the line is and, you know, how far back it goes, that the line has been pretty tight and everything that has enabled us to build at Lake as far as, you know, we got, if Jeff gets elected again, we got 4 years worth of leadership of Lake sitting here, and we've been hanging out for pretty much that whole time, which I think has allowed us to develop a very special culture of like work and play at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the thing with that we've continued with these, with the lines, and it just goes back to when Jeff was worshipful master in 2016. And even prior to that with Bingheim, Brad Bingheim, worshipful brother, it really started a culture with Lake Lodge of officers doing other events just together as officers. So you really build a tight, just well-working line, because everybody knows each other, knows their strengths and everything else. And you have people that you can fall back on with help with all of with any ritual work. We really, really have developed an incredibly strong bond with officer lines. And I think it's very impressive. You go to other lodges and there's, you know, some of these officers don't even talk to each other. They just go through some lines and...
Yeah, they have clicks.
There's clicks.
We definitely tried to avoid that.
Yeah.
At Lake.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I couldn't be happier to be at Lake Watch.
Well, and I think that also brings up the point that, and Jeff, maybe you could speak to this. I know, like, you know, a long-term plan for lodges has been like a big thing that, like, and I feel like we've almost managed to accomplish that without even trying to do it at Lake, like, because with us being all that close and stuff like that, we've almost integrated to the point where we kind of have a 5-year plan just because of how much we've managed to be able to, and that includes all the other officers that aren't here today and all the ones that came previously. We've managed to develop this thing where we're all kind of moving in the same direction just because we all know where everybody's coming from and stuff.
Yeah, I think it, you know, obviously for me, and I mentioned this in the last podcast, my lodge brothers are definitely my closest friends. Like these guys said, I look forward to this and deer hunting. And I think that you're right. The bond that we have and how we try to portray that to the younger officers coming all behind us, which they've now started to pick up on, right? That makes for a really strong line. You know, you can still disagree, you know, but.
Well, the bonds are proven by our degree work.
Yep.
It's absolutely proven just in degree work alone.
I can tell you that for the 14 years I've been a Mason, I don't recall maybe but a small handful of guys going and brand new wanting to learn parts and degrees and stuff like that, right? And we've got our stewards, you know, doing that. They want it. They're eager to learn it and they want to learn it. And there's a lot of knowledge here, you know, not just the four of us, but, you know, Brad's a wealth of knowledge too. And some of the other guys that, you know, John Falk and we just keep passing that stuff down to everybody. And these kids, these younger guys, they eat it up, man.
Oh, they do.
They love it. They eat it up and they take the advice. And
well, we did too. That, yeah, I mean,
that's just kind of how we do things.
Yeah.
They see how important it is to all of us. You know, got the brothers that came before them.
Yeah.
They want a part of that too. They want to eager to learn.
And they're not, and they don't get mad when you give them a little advice. You know, and try to whisper some good counsel. And that's a good thing. And that's what's going to make a strong line. And the other people coming in, like our EAs, they see that, you know. Jim Harpel sees it. He's excited. He wants to get through all of his degrees because he sees that bond and that brotherhood. And, you know, I think one day he'll make a great officer if he's asked and if he wants it.
Yeah, he will.
They, you know, we're in a good spot.
We are in a very good spot. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, weekends like this, the fellowship that we've managed to develop, how close we've managed to get. You know, yeah, we're up here hunting, we have a lot of laughs and do all that kind of stuff, but it always seems like we end up finding ourselves talking about the lodge and masonry again, and, you know, what's working well, what's not working well, and having some of those high level conversations that if we were just going to lodge and then just going home, we wouldn't be having those same kind of conversations. We wouldn't be seeing where each other are coming from and able to move in the right direction and figure out our disagreements.
Well, you also have four past masters sitting. We can't help but talk about this. Right, right. Yeah,
that's true.
Even if somebody doesn't want to hear it.
Many a times my wife has had to hear more than I think she wants to ever. Oh,
yeah. I think that it's, like I said before, it's important to get the younger fellows. And I don't mean younger by age. I mean, younger in masonry, out and doing things. So you can make that bond and then they'll just continue it on down the way, you know?
Right. Yep. They will take.
That's been proven.
Right.
Yep. I mean, that's what we continue to do.
Right. Yeah. They learn, you know, we've all learned the lesson from the people that came before us. I mean, all three of you have been super influential in my Masonic career. I mean, Jeff, you initiated me, and I believe you did my FC as well. Jason, you are my senior deacon through all three degrees.
Yep.
Like,
we held hands a lot.
Yeah, we did. We still do today sometimes.
Skipping down the trail.
Skipping down the trail. You know, and I think those bonds aren't something to be like glossed over. And the fact that now, like, it's almost come full circle, right? You know, you initiated me. You were my senior deacon through all three. I'm pretty sure you were junior deacon through all three.
Yep.
And now we're all sitting here at a table up north at the hunting cabin, all as past pastors.
Yeah.
Which is just a crazy journey when you look back on it. It's been a ride.
Wonderful journey.
I think I did all your charges too.
I think you did.
I know I did Ryan's.
And you did.
We have plenty of episodes about the importance of the charges earlier on. If anybody wants to check those out, those are pretty good. But what else do you guys want to talk about? Let's figure it out here. What we got on our minds? What could hunting teach you about masonry? Who wants to field that?
Patience.
Yeah, I was just going to say patience.
Patience.
Of which I have none of.
Right. That is 100% accurate.
Definitely some fortitude in there too, you know. Just because you have a bad day doesn't mean you give up the next day.
Right.
That's definitely a big one. Maybe about temperance sometimes.
Yeah, definitely temperance.
As you all take a drink.
You know. It's just soda. Come on. Somebody's got to have something for me here. Come on. I can't do all the planning. I tried to start guiding the conversation. Jason, you always have something good to say.
It's your show.
Yeah, I know. But that's why I put three other people around me, because I don't know what the hell to talk about. This is going to be a great episode.
Well, you know, you can always, I do once in a while take my book out, you know, I mean, I sit way, way deep in the woods, and sometimes there's just nothing out there, not even a squirrel. And it's good to crack your book open and read through it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for me this year, if elected, you know, I'll be back as the master again. And, you know, it's one thing when you are asking me the questions and I just have to respond, as opposed to me sitting there and having to ask the questions.
Right. Yeah. Cause you're kind of leading it then at that point versus responding, you know.
Right. So I think you take advantage of the, I don't want to say downtime because it's, you know, you're out there in the woods hunting, but take advantage of that quiet time to study and reflect.
Yep.
Think about how things go, you know, stuff at the lodge or
life.
A lot of reflecting.
Yeah. Just life in general. You really do. That's really the best part of hunting, I think, for me is the solitude of and the peacefulness. It's just you by yourself in the woods, nice and quiet. You really can reflect deep into your mind about a lot of different things that are going on. And it helps put me at ease.
Yeah.
When I come back home, I'm a lot calmer than I was before I left to come up.
Right.
It really makes a big difference in my life to do outdoor, like all the hunting, fishing, things like that. It really makes a big difference in my life.
I dropped off lunch for Trina, my wife, yesterday on my way up, and her coworker asks, so what do you do when you're hunting? Are you walking around? You sit in a tent? What do you do? I said, well, you sit in a blind. She's like, all day? Yeah.
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 What do you do? Nothing.
Sleep.
Sleep.
just to be quiet, just alone with your thoughts. It's actually calming, very calming.
Right.
I enjoy it. Right. I can sit out there all day.
Yeah.
You can definitely sort through some of your stuff while you're sitting out there. And it gives you the opportunity to, without anybody else's input, or just get into the recesses of your mind and go, all right, so this has come up. Here are my different ways of dealing with it. And really sort through like how you're going to handle something too, if you have something pressing on your mind. But you get to leave the world behind for like a little bit, right?
You know,
we're out of the city. We don't have any of the stress of all the traffic that's in the city or any of that kind of stuff. You know, there's no sirens all the time or anything else. You just up here, it's cool. There's animals moving around and just got time to dive deep into your head. Deeper than I'd like, though.
Sometimes there's animals.
Sometimes. Yeah, you know, it all depends on the day.
You'd be surprised how a mouse can sound like a deer.
Oh.
When there's no other sound.
Anybody who hunts can agree to that. I've thought I've had the biggest buck of my life coming in and then seeing a little field mouse run out from under the leaf.
Yep.
Squirrels too, those things make so much noise, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You guys are leaving me high and dry here.
Well, you know, like you said before, the camaraderie is very important, right? I mean, brotherly love and the brotherhood is, you know, obviously one of our tenets, and we do a good job, not only just the four of us, but like I said before, trying to instill that into people coming behind us. I think that if more lodges would get together and do stuff like this, just the officer corps alone, try to get to know each other. And, you know, it just helps to strengthen the lines of the lodge.
Well, the fellowship is critical.
Just the lodge in general, Jeff. Right. That's really, it just strengthens the lodge. People that don't want to be officers start coming to more of these things too, because they see, you know, the bond that we all have. You don't have to be in the line or anything to be part of this. It's special. It's very special.
Well, and fellowship, I've said it probably way too many times on the podcast already, but fellowship's important. Even when I was a hog officer for the Milwaukee chapter hog, we always said when we would go to like our national level meetings or regional meetings and stuff like that, that the best work and the most work got done outside of the meetings. It was always when you were hanging out and just chit-chatting about stuff. That's where the best ideas happen. That's where problems got solved. That's where all that kind of stuff just seems to work itself out, because you can have those lengthier conversations about things.
More intimate conversations.
Yep, that's a good way of putting it. You know, and fellowship has always been super important to Lake. And I think we've continued to push that in a direction that has made it so that, we're not just brothers, we're friends, which is important, because you can be brothers all day long. I love every single one of my brothers, even if I don't like them sometimes. And, you know, but to have brothers that aren't just brothers, they're also friends, is a different level of that relationship. Yeah.
But I see, I think that we've taken that mentality and stretched it too, right? So you yourself have been very instrumental this year, and at least in District 12, with getting people out and traveling, right? And meeting people and sharing that fellowship and that brotherhood with folks from other lodges, right? So we were all at dinner last night with Dave and Victor, right? From Wautoma.
Yep, from Wautoma. Victor's actually been on the show as well in an earlier episode.
Yep. And just seeing, at least in District 12, how people are going around, getting their traveling apron, their traveling lodge, seeing other people, hanging out with other brothers.
It's become contagious.
It is.
The other lodges are doing the same thing, though. Yep. So
I signed so many passports last year for traveling, guys that were traveling. It was really cool.
Yeah, no, it's great to see the unity. I feel like District 12 is really starting to come together, and why shouldn't we? I mean, we're all, within 30 minutes of each other for the most part? You know, it's not like you're driving hours to go visit another lodge. And, you know, if you're getting out and traveling, you know, we can do more cool stuff together if we're all working together, right? You can come up with bigger events and do bigger things, especially when you can pool a labor force or pool even monetary resources, you know, so nobody's really on the hook for a large amount if you want to do, like, something really big. And, you know, to see the lodges starting to come together and do that and travel more and get to know each other and communicate between the lodges, you know, whether it be about a problem or good stuff going on at their lodge, or making sure that, you know, you're reaching out to the other lodges to advertise your events, is just great, because we're supposed to all be working together.
Well, I had mentioned that the other day, you know, that breakfast that you put together for District 12 with the senior wardens the senior wardens upcoming to be the masters.
Cool.
Just sitting down, getting together, you know.
That was a great idea.
It was a great idea. And that is definitely something. And you know what? And the guys bought into it. You know what I'm saying? There's definitely been a more of a brotherhood mentality change, at least in District 12. And I'm going to continue that on next year. I talked to a bunch of guys over at, there was an FST presentation for some mixture between 11 and District 11 and 12. And I bumped into a lot of senior wardens that were there. And I said, you'll be getting an email from me. And I'm going to include the junior wardens also, because they need to know how to build your year, how to calendar, and they need to know this is what we're doing now, right?
Right.
Not only are you going out and having fellowship by breaking bread together or pancakes together, right? But, you know, when we can see what's going on at everybody else's lodge, that helps everybody go to visit and travel more and really spread the brotherly love and the fellowship that we're supposed to do. That definitely helped, Matt. It was a really good idea.
Well, and as you already know, because you're currently a senior warden, we're already continuing that and taking that to the next step to help set you guys up for next year when you guys organize that. You know, we're doing a barbecue in July, and this time we're not just doing it as worshipfuls. It's going to be the worshipfuls and the senior wardens, so you guys can all get the FaceTime, you know, whoever can make it, obviously, all get the FaceTime with each other to start developing that relation to continue building it, you know. And on that note, Adam Rigdon, the worshipful master of Wautoma up here, he's working on something really cool that I don't want to totally call him out on yet, but he's working on something really cool that will hopefully be coming down the pipe to continue building that on even a larger scale than a district.
Right. Inter-district.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's not like these other districts are that far away from this.
No.
Well, you can get anywhere in Wisconsin within 3 to 4 hours for the most part, pretty much. I mean, from Milwaukee, the longest drive for us would be up to
Superior
5.
Sorry, District 1.
Like 5 hours?
At least five.
At least 6 hours. Yeah. I mean, that's still, when you really think about it, that's still not like terrible, terrible. It's not like you're trying to drive across Texas, which takes like 12 hours. You know, like we're close enough that you could reasonably go up one day, do something, come back the next day. You know, if you didn't want to push 12 hours of driving in one day, right. You know, so it's not anything out of the realm of possibility for it to be done. And then if you can do a larger scale event somewhere more in the middle of the state, everybody only has a 2 or 3 hour drive,
right.
You know, so at most. So
getting out and traveling too, especially as an officer, gets you to see how other lodges are doing things. I know all ritual work and everything should all be the same, but just how they manage the lodge, and it helps. It helps with ourselves, and it helps with them when they come by our lodge or when we go by their lodges. Because that's advice. That's basically just free advice of, oh, hey, this really works a lot better than the way we do it at our lodge, even though it worked at our lodge. Well, hey, we just found a better way of doing things. And then vice versa with them, if they come and see us doing something that might be a little different than they do. So traveling is a wonderful idea.
Well, that's like when Worshipful Master Adam Rigdon from up here came down, I invited him to the East because, one, he had traveled a long way. But the only reason I ever had the idea of inviting him to the East is because, you know, I know of another lodge where the Worshipful Master is currently doing that, where any Worshipful Master that sits in their lodge, you know, from another lodge, obviously Worshipful from another lodge, that comes and visits them, he's inviting them to sit in the East with him for their stated meetings and stuff like that. And I thought that was a really cool idea, you know, a nice show of, you know, unity and respect and everything else, especially for a brother that traveled 2 hours to come to a Master Mason degree.
Right. Yeah.
You know, of course I was going to have him come sit in the East with me, because that was just cool. And, you know, it's got to be unique to watch a degree from the East when you don't have anything to do. Right. You know, and so I'm sure he enjoyed it, especially having just conferred his first three days prior, because he had just done his the Monday before.
I think the last EA that we just had, it wasn't Stevens. I couldn't make Stevens. I can't remember.
The doubler, so Jim and Jason's?
Might have been that one. I think that was the first time that I got to sit on the sideline and actually watch a degree.
Lucky.
It hasn't happened for me yet.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I got to do any work.
1 year I got from after my year. 1 year I got to sit.
Yeah, that's the only degree I've actually sat, I think, and not had something to do.
Yeah, you know, and I imagine I'll enjoy it when I finally get to do that. But at the same time, I like doing the work. We all like doing the work. Everybody sitting at this table likes doing the work. I mean, obviously you're starting to take on lectures now, Grant, which I love and appreciate. We need more people doing those.
It was actually a lot of fun last week doing the senior deacon again.
Oh, yeah. You filled in for senior deacon. That was great. You still did a nice job, you know. I think everybody at this table is going to agree that that's the best chair.
The degree goes by so fast because you're just constantly moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For type A's like me, you know, you are in control. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. That guy's not going anywhere without you dragging him along. So.
I mean, you're essentially the director at that point, right? You're deciding the pace and everything else and how things are going. So, you know, and you're working off other people's cues, but on your own time. So you are definitely the one controlling the flow, whether you need to slow it down or speed it up or, you know.
That's a great chair.
It is such a great chair. I think that's a good question that we just answered. But yeah, I think I'm going to start adding that to the guests, especially if they're a past master. What was your favorite chair as you went through the line? You know, I love senior deacon. I also love junior warden, though, because I like cooking for people.
Nope.
So.
Yep. Jeff is a hard no on that.
Jeff's a hard no.
I love junior warden for 1 year.
Not for two.
Yeah.
As senior deacon for me, and then honestly sitting in the East after that.
Yeah.
So for those listening, junior warden, that was COVID year. So we doubled up. We didn't, because in Milwaukee, we couldn't meet. So we didn't advance chairs for 1 year.
Right. Yeah, no. I got to spend 2 years as senior deacon.
That's right.
However, the 1 year as senior deacon, I didn't do anything.
We didn't have any degrees.
We couldn't do anything. So, that was part of the reason I was like, nope, I'm not ready to advance the chair because I want to actually do the work involved in this chair.
It also wasn't fair to a worshipful brother, Jeremy Hilgendorf, either. I mean, he basically lost his year.
Right.
You know, and that's not fair. You work so hard to get through that line. It's a lot of years, a lot of work, a lot of preparation. You finally get there and the city shuts you down and you can't even meet with your brothers and do what your agenda was planned for. So without a doubt, we were giving him another year. And it was obviously great for us too. I was senior warden that year and we didn't really meet or do anything. So I was definitely not ready to go sit in the East after that.
Right. Well, and I would agree, you know, as much as it sucked to kind of have to stay in chairs, honestly, I think that extra year was extraordinarily helpful for me, especially since I skipped from junior steward to pretty much senior deacon. You know, there's already 2 years of me learning leadership skills and learning how masonry works and everything else that I was missing out on. So to have that extra year to be able to stay there and learn some more and, you know, get advice from people and everything else was, I think, extraordinarily beneficial and actually probably part of the reason that my year's going as well as it has. So
I honestly think it was great. It was terrible, but right. I think it was really great for our lodge because Worshipful Brother Jeremy handled everything with such grace and just, he was so calm and even keel about everything and just, and kept us all together. We still had Zoom meetings. We still got to, you know, at least kind of FaceTime each other. But, man, he did such a great job during the COVID.
He navigated that well.
Us together.
He did. He really did. Yeah. And I mean, he taught us a lot about, you know, rolling with the punches and figuring stuff out and dealing with it. And he taught us a lot about how to handle things with poise and grace. Like you said, I mean, he was a rock star and, you know, taught us all a lot of how to stay calm under pressure and was a shining example of that kind of stuff.
And that's why he deserved another year.
Yeah.
An actual year of Open Lodge. So I'm glad that's the way that we did that. Even though it might have been without his consent in the beginning. Yeah, no idea he was going to be a wonderful master 2 years in a row. But
it did make his smile quite a bit larger when he was not in the East.
He still hasn't.
Yeah, that's true. It's great to have him outside the door as Tyler right now, too. Oh, yeah. It's great to him there and be involved. He's a good ear to bend. When you need a little advice,
definitely.
You know? And he's always willing to give his opinion, and his opinion is almost, it's the same as he was when he was worshipful. He's calm, cool, collected, very logical. Ooh, motorcycle going by. All right, we'll let that go by for a second here, because we can hear a lot of that. Loudest thing we'll hear unless that shotgun goes off.
Right.
Well, that's going to...
I'm guessing it's not going off.
That's going to make Jeff deaf. Because it's right next to him.
Well, and to be fair, it is also unloaded right now.
It wasn't about 20 minutes ago. We had to make sure that while this was on the table, we had to unload this thing.
It's good to have it handy, though, in case that bird happens to wander through. Like, hey, I feel like I hear a bunch of people talking over there. Maybe they want me on their podcast.
Yeah. I don't know if you did. Did you happen to mention that we are not in the cabin? We are currently sitting outside.
I should mention that. We are sitting in the woods. Outside to record this, because why not, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're hunting.
We're hunting. That's why.
Yeah. We got to keep an eye, right? Yeah, we can't miss out. Our luck, if we would have sat in the cabin, about 20 birds would have walked past while we were sitting in there.
For sure. That's a for sure. Like, and it's like when I pulled in, hen went running.
Yeah.
Right down the road.
Yeah. Now, that was yesterday for me when I first got up here. I pulled in and saw Tom in full strut 50 yards away and couldn't get the bow out of the car fast enough to go get after him through that. I don't think I've ever thrown the car in park that fast. That thing was in park and the door was open before I knew what was going on. Surprised I remembered to put it in park.
That might have been the best chance at getting that bird. Let the car go get it.
Step on it.
And for the disclaimer for Olivia, there was no damage done to the truck.
Also, we got super lucky. It's absolutely gorgeous out here right now.
Yep. Yeah. Now the rain has stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, we had rain for an hour. Yeah. I mean, this is
just enough time for us to run in and
grab some lunch.
Get some lunch.
Yeah. It's perfect timing. The rain cleared up. Now we're doing this, hoping a bird comes in, but I doubt it. Seems to be a lot of traffic today. So.
Well, we have a flash tablecloth.
We have some calls too that
we do. Been used. We do. We'll open the podcast with that, you know.
Well, don't let everybody know how bad you are at calling.
Oh, man, that's rough. Why don't you do it better then? Come on, let's go.
Okay.
You got a box call.
I do.
Well, Andrew's going to love trying to even out the volume. Close to edit this one.
I'll bet peak on there.
Those things get so loud. Because all the microphones pick them up.
Perfect. That's full stereo.
Yep.
So-and-so.
That'll be fun. Maybe you should leave the volumes up. I'm going to apologize to anybody's ears if you were listening to this on earbuds and the volume didn't get leveled up and we just blew out your eardrums.
I'll wait till a bird comes home.
Yeah. We might actually have to, I might actually have to mute everything if a bird right? comes in.
Might blow the diaphragms of these mics out.
Quick, turn the power off.
Yeah, we got lucky this weekend. That's for sure.
We did. It's a gorgeous weekend to sit outside. It's a good weekend for fellowship and, you know, solving the world's problems like we always seem to think we do up here.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, wait, we kind of do.
We don't solve the problems up here? I think we do.
I mean, sometimes we do, but a lot of times I forget what the solution was.
That's the problem.
Right. All that strategic planning went right down the
tube. Yeah, it's pretty great, man. Sitting up here with your best friends, you know, and your brothers. I mean, it's amazing.
I only wish we had like 400 acres we could get more brothers up here.
Yeah. A bigger cabin with more beds. I mean, that's the problem. And, you know, I've always tried to make it clear to people that it's not that more people aren't invited to come up here. I would love to have more people be able to join us, but we have a very small cabin that sleeps four or five. And one of those beds is always reserved for my dad. Yep. So,
and really, 47 acres,
43.
It's 43. Okay. Yep. Well, 43 acres. I mean, when you, especially deer hunting, it's different for turkey hunting. You could put people everywhere in the woods, but deer hunting, you got a bunch of guys out here with high powered rifles. You gotta separate yourselves.
Yeah. You gotta have a good distance between everybody. So yeah, you don't want to try to cram too many people in the woods.
No, well, that's just not safe.
Limited amount of space to sleep in. I agree with you. I would love to have 400 acres up here with a giant cabin on it that could sleep like 20 people and, you know, be able to have everybody come up, even if it wasn't for hunting, just to hang out for a week.
Exactly.
Right. You know, like
lottery goals.
Yeah. Very much so. Lottery goals.
You could always go to Oatmeal Lake, you know. Always go to Oatmeal Lake.
That's coming up soon. That's on my calendar for DMLA.
I would encourage any lodge to do that. They'll rent it out. Oatmeal Lake from DMLA will rent it out to any lodge, yeah.
And, that could be that's a fun officer.
Absolutely. Like, it'd be a great retreat for officers to get to.
How many beds?
Oh, I forget. I really don't know.
I've never actually been up there.
I mean, neither. The boys have been up there for 12 years.
I think that could be cool to even just open up as like a lodge event and really get like a strong weekend of fellowship with like anybody from the lodge that wanted to come, not just the officers.
Is that just like a big camp, like Camp Upham and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a big, right on Wahoo, private lake.
I would, if any lodge would be interested, contact Sean Walmart and he can get you set and squared away with that.
That'd be awesome, actually. I think you have a great idea to make that happen next year now.
Yeah. Yeah, lucky me. Good work, Jeff.
You just volunteered yourself.
I did.
you know that as a past master too. You know, if you just came up with it and publicly aired it, so you know now you get to do it.
Stuck.
Right. Yeah. I'll get to work on that.
Do you have your calendar all set for next year already?
Up here, I do. I just haven't written it down. We are going to be bringing back an event in February.
Sweethearts.
Nope.
Is this breaking news here?
It could be. Chinese New Year.
Oh, sweet.
We're going to do Chinese New Year. I know that past Grandmaster Mike DeWolf did it for...
What is that?
I believe Wauwatosa Lodge. I think he was a member at Tosa. And it was a raging success there that he and Annie did it twice. Based upon our schedule at Lodge, especially with Robert Burns being at the end of January, we couldn't get it to work in January. But So we're going to do it in February, I believe. Chinese New Year is celebrating Chinese New Year. You know, we'll have, I'm trying to work on finding some performers or some kind of program, but it's all the food will be handmade by Annie.
Sweet.
Awesome. That's
awesome. Annie's a great cook.
She is a phenomenal cook. No matter what she's cooking, she's phenomenal. But obviously being from Taiwan, she's versed in that Asian culture for food, right? Yeah. So
big fan.
It worked. It was a good success the couple of years Mike did it, and we're going to try to bring that back next year.
Is that going to be an open to the public event?
Absolutely.
Because my mother-in-law will love that. Yeah.
Yep. It'll be friends, family, Masons, you know, stuff like that. We are going to cap the amount of people.
Right. We can only fit so many in the building. Right?
Well, and Annie can only cook so much food.
Right.
You're going to plan it for our lodge, do it at our lodge, or are you going to?
Yeah, okay. It'll be at Lake, so it'll be an all hands on deck for officers, no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter your rank,
right?
Because we're gonna need the help,
yep. You know,
and everyone's gonna take direction from Annie. Sorry, Matt Adrian. So I know that'll be his kitchen for next year, but she'll be running the show.
I'm sure he won't have a problem with that, None of us will have a problem letting Annie order us around. So.
No, and she will. She will definitely do it. So,
that'll be fun.
So I've got a couple of different things planned for. Next year, we always have a really good calendar anyway with a lot of the repetitive stuff that we do, which will be included in there.
Axe throwing coming back.
Yeah, axe throwing will be coming back, and we'll pick the right weekend for Trina. And
which I didn't do.
Yeah. You didn't. I did. I fixed that problem.
Yeah, you did, yeah, right. Yeah, you didn't, and you're a year for your own wife.
Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah, no. We.
How long did you hear about that?
I'm still hearing about it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
That you got the right date for her. She was able to attend.
I only did because you reminded me like three times that I needed to.
Yeah. So, well, you know, that's one of the things I'll change from when I was the master. You know, you never like to think to yourself, this is a for sure you're going to get elected. And I waited way too long my first time. That's not going to happen this time. You learn.
Right.
You learn from experience. You learn from past masters older than us said you should have done it this way. I told you to. And
you know what, Jeremy? That's exactly what Jeremy told me.
Yeah.
And I did not. I waited until about November, almost the first week of December.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I had it finished during elections. I think I finished it, my calendar the very next week. That's when I finally finished my calendar. And then I was racing to try to get it done because I had to present it.
Well, successful.
And I was supposed to present it before that, which I didn't, obviously.
Yeah. Oh. I learned from both of you guys. And I remember sitting at Ginger's and like, I think it was July, and going through it with you and Jeremy, the calendar and when we're going to do all this stuff.
Yep.
So I had it in plenty early.
Did Mary pay you to plug Ginger's?
Right. Hey, what are you getting,
a free bartender or something? I hope I get, yeah. Get a couple of those free drink coupons again.
You tell us again where that is, Grant?
Ginger's. That is on Howard and Howell
in
Milwaukee.
Right.
Yeah, right. If anybody wants to go.
Ask for Mary.
Great Irish breakfast. Sundays.
Great. Tell Mary you heard about it on Time for Fellowship.
That's right. Right. A lot of ugly
Please
plugs
stop
here.
By for an Irish breakfast between 9 and 12.
No, and I would agree with you, Grant, though. I learned it from Jeremy and Jason, and then I saw what happened when you got a calendar done early and how much easier, no offense, Jason, how much smoother the year seemed to go because of it.
I remember sending Brad to the, like, how I want to do the budget. I think I sent him that in July.
Yeah.
And his email reply kind of laughed at me.
Right.
It's a little early for this.
Yeah, we don't have the actuals yet.
Yeah, we don't have the actuals yet. Yeah, I got the
That the budget is the only one that I did actually have going early, but I know Jeremy and Worshipful Brother John. Well, something's moving around in the woods over there.
Who?
Making noise.
Grunting.
Yeah.
Maybe we got a buck walking through. Nice to see a deer. See if they're growing at all.
Sure, no, it's like not one. That bobcat. That's all that matters.
Oh, no. We got to see that bobcat. I want to see that bobcat.
Never again.
That's another podcast story.
That's a long story. You want me to pull up what they sound like real quick?
Nope,
Jeff and I could sit here and recount our experience for 10 minutes.
I would like to pull up the text messages that Grant and I were receiving while this thing is growling away in the woods.
Exit stage left if you bring that up.
Jeff and I had the caps lock on for that one.
Rightfully so.
I was just sitting in my blind laughing.
And you would need the sensor button.
I don't have one of those. I don't have a sensor button. You just have to add in bleeps afterwards. Speaking of...
That's just a dirt bike.
That's a dirt bike. Yep. Yeah. Speaking of our co-host, he's actually going to do hunter safety. And since we always do multiple weekends of turkey hunting, he is going to be joining us for one of those weekends of turkey hunting next year. So... I obviously told them we don't have room for deer camp for sure, but, you know, usually we spread turkey hunting out over two or three weekends, depending when we draw tags.
So now I have to deal with them while I'm on vacation, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I have to deal with them.
You know, like, I'm kidding, Andrew.
All the time. I mean, all the time. I see them at least once a week, usually to record this or do something for Lodge, and then, you know... There's all the messaging that happens.
I can't wait till he gets to this part in editing.
Love you, Andrew. We all like to rag on him a little bit.
Well, it's like how we give Jeff crap.
Yeah. You
know, it's because you're easy.
It's because we love each other.
I figured it was because you like me, and when it stops, then I know I did something wrong. But because it's easy is a much better explanation. Say, thank you, brother Grant.
Love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
Grant and I being in the construction trade, that's always been the running joke. If we stop giving you a hard time, then you're a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's kind of how I've always operated too. If I'm not giving you a hard time, that's probably because I don't like you.
Yeah.
Or I think you can't handle it because I'm not sure yet. I haven't known you long enough to know how much crap I can talk.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you get to know you.
Yep.
And here it comes.
No holding back after that.
No.
My face hurts from all the laughing this weekend. Oh, it has been good and definitely needed.
Yeah, it was absolutely needed. My wife and I, our son just, you guys know this. Our son just enlisted in the Army and he was shipped out this past Monday. And I honestly thought I would handle this a lot better than I've been. It's, I knew that this was going to be difficult for my wife, Jessie, but it's, I'm terrified and I know she is too. I'm sure he's going to be okay, but
that's a scary thing, man.
This was a very, very rough week. And I know it's not going to get too much easier until I finally get to go see him when he graduates basic, but
good therapy weekend.
This was a much needed therapy weekend.
And you guys are empty nesters now.
We are officially empty nesters now.
Yep. It should give you plenty of time to start learning some lectures then.
Yeah. Hey, I do enough on memory work. Wow. Start over.
That should give you plenty of time to learn some lectures then.
You're going to eat that mic in a minute.
He's got music to worry about. You just let him concentrate on music.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's going
to
be
Worshipful brother Jeff wants me to be the musician.
Are you?
Yeah.
Subdivisions.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, dun, that should dun, be, dun, that should be dun, interesting.
Dun. See how many instruments I can play in one degree.
Right.
It'll be fun.
You going to learn the dirge?
Oh, yeah. I actually already know how to play that.
All right.
I just need a quick little refresher. It's not very hard. It's just simple chords for the most part.
Awesome.
You were supposed to play the ukulele for our Hawaiian night in July last year.
Ethan and I did not happen. Get together enough on that.
Ethan tried. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, Ethan and I think next year I'll get with him and we'll get two ukuleles so that we can do something nice for that one.
That'd be cool.
And we wanted to do something for Ethan and I were talking.
There was something else.
I think it was Linda Schreier. We were talking to her about an event. I think it was Christmas. I think we were going to take ukuleles and play Christmas songs during the
Pancake for breakfast?
Yeah, when there's
breakfast with Santa. Pancake for breakfast.
We did have pancakes for breakfast. Yeah. Yep. That was close.
But yeah, but when the kids are all in there sitting on Santa's lap and getting their presents and all that, we told Linda that we would try to get some music in there, and we didn't do that last year either. So I think I'll get with Ethan and see if we can learn some Christmas songs and just play ukuleles or something. And
I like that.
Here comes Santa Claus on the ukulele.
Why not?
I dig it.
Isn't there a Elvis song with the ukulele for Christmas?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there is.
I'm sure there is.
It can almost guarantee there is.
not all that big of an Elvis fan, so I don't. I apologize to all those who are Elvis fans.
Disclaimers.
Right? Yeah, I know. I've noticed that. There's been a lot of disclaimers going on.
Speaking of disclaimers, have you heard of Ginger's?
Have you heard? I know. I've not heard about
Ginger's. Great place.
All the time. Yes.
Please try the Irish breakfast from 9 to noon. We'll see you there Thursday evenings.
I might have to talk to Mary about getting paid before we air this episode. Oh, my God. All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we went down a bunch of rabbit holes.
We did. That's a good thing. We finally got it. Took a minute. You guys seemed a little shy at first one. And Jay, you never should. You're a musician. You're used to having a mic in front of your face.
That I am. And I usually can't shut up. So.
Yeah, there's that too. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for being on this week. It was fun. Obviously, I'm not doing any news and events because we're up north. So we'll catch you up on that on the next episode, potentially. We have another dynamic episode coming up for you after this one, probably. So thanks for being here, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, happy hunting.
All right. Let's go get a turkey.
Yeah, happy hunting, everybody.
Have a good one.